hard to believe it's already January 10 of the new year, and I hope that each of you following, listening, tuning into this message have had a good start into the new year, even though things have not go according to plan, you know, because that's how life is on most occasions. But we are praying for God's blessings and protection for each of you. And I want to just take a moment to remind all of us that God is our good Father, watching over us even in difficult times, in changing times, in disappointing times, in times when we have questions, in time when we have struggles during the pandemic, during economic downshift. But God is our source, and we look to Him. Yes, Heavenly Father, we look to You. And we bless everyone in the English hour, in the international community, regardless from which continent. You know, we are a truly inclusive church because it's our priority, it's our desire, and it's the heart of our Father. Christ has come, and He has died for everyone. So it's good to be in an international community. And I know many people, you know, from different groups, you know, have specific concerns. Europe is going through a time of adaptation. You know, they are managing the effects of the Brexit. And, you know, many Romanians are in the middle of it. But we are praying for good things and for good transitions. I know everyone watching America is concerned about the change happening this month, about the violent protests, about people losing their cool, about leadership that is not demonstrating the kind of wisdom and balance and unity that they should, you know, from different people. But God is the source, and I pray that, you know, that You continue to bless America and that, you know, keep an open mind and open heart. Don't just talk or listen to people who express views and preferences like yours. Try to listen, try to respect, even if you don't have to agree, of course, but try to listen, try to respect positions and concerns of people from different sensibilities, from different preferences, and may God bless and keep the United States of America. We are praying for our Filipino brothers and sisters. I know that for many of you who are part of our Filipino community, you've been affected with your jobs, with the families that you work with. May God keep you. We are excited for the Nepalese community that is forming. I know some of you are watching right now, and it's been good to get to know some of you more and to understand more of your culture, of your country. May God bless you and keep you. We pray for people from Sri Lanka. And I know Ruben and Janita are ministering to many people. Some of them are struggling with all sorts of issues right now. We are praying for somebody. There's a specific case in Ploiești area. Some people who are part of a criminal investigation. We need to pray for truth and for and grace to be shared on that situation. We are praying for Africa and our African brothers and sisters. And the continent is going through changes, and COVID is also affecting more countries there. In South Africa, there are some concerns. But God, you know, even just going through naming all these countries and continents can be overwhelming for us. But it's not overwhelming for our Heavenly Father. And He encouraged us to make our needs known before Him, together with thanks, together with praise. So this is what we do. And we leave it up to God to sort it out. And we ask Him for wisdom and strength. So may you have a prosperous 2021, may be filled with hope, filled with wisdom, filled with a desire to be closer to God and closer to His plan for your lives, for your family, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to share a few thoughts about living the new year, about living in the newness of life. Because often, you know, not just when it comes to transition into a new year, people talk about new things. They want new things. Not only kids get bored of things, but even adults. Sometimes they want a change. Sometimes they want a new haircut. Sometimes they want a new purse, especially some of us, or a new gadget, especially some of us. Or people want, you know, sometimes new relationships, something new. And it's understandable. To a certain degree, it's okay. But often, after a few days of stepping into a new year, after having a new thing, a new gift, a new surrounding, maybe even a new car, the new car loses its smell, but inside we still don't feel the newness. And we know that true newness, true freshness comes from our spirit side, from connecting to God at a deeper level and having a fresh perspective, having a time when we are lifted up, when we are not bogged down by the burdens and the problems of the past. And I just want to take a few minutes to talk about that today. And I shared some of his ideas a couple of weeks ago, but I feel like the Lord is continuing to put it on my heart and stirring my heart about it. And I hope it's a blessing and for you as well. Because in life, you know, especially as we grow, and I'm not talking about being with white hair like I am, but even when you're 25 and not 20 anymore, or when you move into your 30s and it's a new season of life, maybe you have kids or maybe you have a new job, and sometimes, you know, things from the past still carry on with us, you know. We all have childish years, so to speak. We have memories, we have things from our family time that affect us and infect us. And even though we move for new years and new places and new jobs, sometimes they are still very much part of us, and it's just the nature of things. Or even when we start a new venture, you know, sometimes we need to let go of some of the old ventures, whether we talk about a business or an enterprise or a school or something. And relationships, you know, that we carry baggage, because just like a human experience, every human activity produces some physical waste, some physical garbage that needs to be processed and dealt with. It's the same thing in relationships, in, you know, even in the best of relationships, in family relationships, in church relationships. There are things that are happening. There is stuff that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be processed well, because if it's not processed well, it's going to affect us, you know. And we want to move on with new things, but sometime it's hard, because it's hard to let go of old habits. It's hard to, get a break, you know, from circumstances. Or sometime we want to move on, and then something happens, you know, somebody gets sick, we get a news from the doctor, a report that is not good, you know. We get an email that changes our plans or saddens our perspectives, or, you know, we have a conversation with someone that doesn't go according to our desires and plans, and then life kind of feels heavy on us. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit of God will touch each and every one of us, and it will give us a new perspective, it will lift the burdens, and it will continue to bring newness of life. And the Bible talks a lot about new things. Like in the Old Testament, God is talking in the book of Ezekiel, for example, about, I'm going to give you a new heart. And Jesus talked about, you know, his new wine, and he wanting to renew our lives, the wineskin, so to speak, the container for the new wine. And he wants to refresh, you know, us and to update us and for new life. And, you know, or the Apostle Paul talks about that we've been taught in Christ to have a new thinking, a new life, a new way of doing things, to live from the new person that we are in Christ. You know, or Jesus talking to Nicodemus, it talks you have to be born again. So God is all about doing things new and upgrading things. He's not letting go of everything from the past. God is stable. He has a line. He has a direction. He has a good plan. But at the same time, he always wants to clean and update and upgrade us. But how do we live in that newness? Because we often know, you know, that even when we want to update or upgrade things in our lives, things of the past, they hold on, you know, we feel like they grab to a hold of our hearts and inner person, and it's hard to let go. And I just want to have a few thoughts and a few passages that I want to read from today, and may God use it all to encourage us, to touch our hearts. And I want to read from Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a very famous psalm, and it's a psalm that David wrote, a prayer after his episode with Bathsheba, when he had a major failure as a leader, as a person. But I believe as we read through this psalm, we also can get some good ideas, some good steps regarding living a new life or being renewed. Because, you know, David was a true worshiper. And we know that God is looking for true worshipers. You know, and it's not about what kind of music or what kind of songs and at what time, but it's about a heart that is open for God, a heart that is close to God, a heart that is seeking after God. And sometimes it's hard for us to seek after God, to feel close to Him, to get closer to Him when old things are pressing us down, either if it's maybe memories, maybe abuse, maybe mistakes, maybe our own failures, the failure of other people. And in this psalm, we hear the cry of David, which is not just his cry, but it's also representative of our desire, our cry as human beings, wanting to be close to God, wanting to be renewed, wanting to be restored. And it starts like this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." You know, we see here that David is appealing at God's heart, at his love. He's throwing himself at his mercy, just realizing who he is as a human being. But from his whole life, you know, he is living as an imperfect, living in sin. And I know some of you may say, well, wait a second, I thought we were talking about being renewed. Now you're talking about sin. Well, the reality is that what burdens us most, what keeps us most tied to the past instead of being able to move freely into the future, it is sin. Sometimes our own sin, sometimes the sin of others affecting us, because that's the nature of sin, or sometimes it's a mixed, it's complicated, like they say, right? And you cannot live in newness of God, you cannot be restored and move on to the new seasons of life unless we find good ways and proper ways to deal with sin and to deal with the consequences of sin. Again, not just a sin that we perpetrated, that we caused, but even sin that maybe other people committed and it's affecting or infecting us. Because this is how things are. And yes, there is a tendency to blame too much of our problems on others. You know, and even in Christian circles, sometimes we take some things, some good teachings, we take them to an extreme, you know. Yes, there are generational sins, but it doesn't mean that I cannot get away from them. It doesn't mean that I cannot live freely from them, even though maybe my parents or my grandparents or people in the community, in the wider family I grew up in, they were of a certain orientation, or they have behaviors, or they have sinful attitudes. God is giving us strength, and God is not holding against us the sins committed by other people. But still, they affect us. Or it's the same way when it comes to a community, when it comes to a country. You know, people have a personal responsibility, but then there is family, there is community, there is church responsibility. And together, some of these things can feel like almost like a prison. They can feel like a big, heavy thing weighing upon us, and we cannot move on. But David here is giving us, he's being transparent, and thank God that he recorded this prayer of David, and we have it, you know, almost 3,000 years since it's been written, since it's been brought before God. And we understand that if we want newness, if we want to get closer to God, if we want to be restored, when we come to God, we have to go in an attitude of honesty, in an attitude of transparency. And that means realizing, admitting our shortcomings, admitting who we are, admitting our sin, or admitting that we are hurt and affected by the sin of others, admitting our disappointments, admitting our frustrations, which is, you know, unmet expectations and desires. And if we're not honest to God, which means we have to be honest to ourselves as well about these things, it's hard for us to be renewed. It's hard for us to break free and move on. So before we can be honest with God, we need to be honest with us. And before living in new things, we have to deal with the old things that have affected, infected, or pressed upon us. And this is what we see. And this is what we need to do. And sometime, some things can have a hold on us for many years, whether we talk about behaviors, or whether we talk about unforgiveness, whether we talk about not being ready to work and cooperate with God in His good plans for our lives, and just waiting for miracles to drop in our lap. Yes, God does miracles today, but He expects us to do our part. He expects us to believe. He expects us to get close to Him. He expects us to receive from Him, to walk in obedience, to walk in faithfulness. So this is the pattern. This is a prerequisite for newness, you know, to move in new things and to let go of the past. And we all have issues, you know. We all have stuff that we need to deal with, again, from our own choices, from our own behavior, or maybe from the behavior of others. And I know sometimes it's hard for us to admit the consequences of sin and the responsibility of sin. It's easy to blame it on the circumstances, to say, oh, only if the government was this, or only if my boss was different, or only if I was born taller or thinner or whatever, or only if I had more money, only if I lived in a different century. Yeah, I understand why sometimes we are leaning in toward those thoughts. But those are not realistic. They're not of God. God is telling us wherever we are, wherever circumstances, to look to Him and to try to follow Him. You know, follow me and I will be with you always. And God is with us in the middle of this set of circumstances in 2021, with everything that goes on in our city, in our country, in our continent, in our country of origin, in our family of origin, in our church, in our circumstances. And God is moving us. And this is what David is doing. You know, he starts with pleading to God for mercy, understanding that he cannot come before God like God owes him something, other than pleading to God for mercy, for His love. And this is what we have in the gospel, you know, that that God loved everyone and He gave His Son for us. And then from here, if we read the next few verses, starting from verse 7 in Psalm 51, we see the next few things that David is asking for. You know, he's saying, cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole, then bulls will be offered on your altar. He understands that doing physical things of sacrifice, like it was required by the old law, sacrificing bulls and burnt offerings, those things had no meaning unless there was something of an inside attitude, that humble spirit. And it's like this for us today. Obviously now we don't have to burn things, we don't have to bring sacrifices like that, But we still have to do our part. We have to live out in obedience. But everything starts with our attitude inside, with the posture of our heart. And this is the great principle that David includes in this prayer, and it's passed on to us through the generations. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. In order for us to live in the newness, in order for us to be restored, in order for us to deal with the consequences of things, of circumstances, of sin, our own and others, and circumstantial, we have to have this attitude of being humble, a broken and contrite heart. And I know that none of us are perfect. Even believers, even leaders, even people who have followed the Lord for a long time, none of us can say, you know, that we reach that. Just like Paul says, I'm leaving behind some things, but I'm moving on, trying to grab a hold of Christ. You know, you maybe heard of that person who said, well, I'm humble and I'm proud of it. That's what we are as people. Sometimes, even when we try to do what's right, even when we try to come before God and come to God in the right attitude, there is still a stinge of pride. There is still something in us that doesn't want to let us really prostrate before God, to really humble ourselves before God. Or even when we recognize our own sin, we sometimes try to legitimize it, we try to explain it, we try to rationalize it, or we try, of course, to play the blame shift game, you know, assigning the guilt or the responsibility on someone else. It's part of the human nature, it's part of our human struggle, but David is saying, Lord, you are not despising a broken and contrite heart. It's not the number of bulls of sacrifices, it's not the outward things that we impress God, but God is looking at the heart. We learned that lesson, you know, in Samuel, at the time when, through the prophet Samuel, God directed and chose little boy David to be the next king. And this little boy David is not little anymore. He's king. He had a major fallout. He feels broken. He feels away from God. He feels disconnected, and he is. But in this psalm, he's showing us how we can be restored and how we can live again in the newness of God, in that freshness of God, in that situation, in that close relationship where he can be delivered, and he will sing of righteousness, and he will open the lips, and he will declare praise, and God will restore in him the joy of the salvation, hallelujah, and the pure heart and the steadfast spirit. I don't know about you, but I want those things. I need those things. We need those things as a church. We need those things. More people everywhere. America needs Christian leaders with genuine attitudes like this. Filipino and Nepal and Niger and Nigeria and South Africa and UK and Germany and France and every country. It needs those kind of Christians that are authentic, true worshipers, that they have a restored joy, that they have a clean heart, a steadfast spirit. And these things can happen only as we come before God in the right attitude. Only if we understand the things that he can restore, you know, that we need to let go. Jesus told us in a prayer, you know, to pray, forgive our sin as we forgive our debtors. You know, forgive those, our transgressions, as we forgive those who transgressed against us, like the other translation says. But it's the same principle. We have to let go. We have to let go of pride, let go of our attitudes, let go of sorrow, let go of frustration, let go of unforgiveness. And there is so much of that. You know, my privilege as a friend and pastor to many people through the years is that I hear many stories. I get to understand people more. Sometimes it's a burden. And I see that some people are willing to have a moldable heart before God and let go of some of these things and offer grace and seek for grace, because you cannot offer grace to you or to others unless you seek to receive it from God. Grace, it's not a human commodity. You cannot buy it at the market. You cannot produce it out of the good nature of your character, of the good nature of your temperament. Grace only comes from God, only comes from the cross through Jesus Christ. And we need grace. The world around us needs more common grace, even though many people don't believe in God, don't believe in grace, but we need that. At your job place, in our relationship with neighbors, in traffic, we need more common grace. But for that, there need to be some people, like some connectors, some people who will bring, just like with the internet, it works through hubs and servers. We need more human beings, more Christians who will connect with heaven and receive grace and release grace in the network of humanity, in families, in communities, in cities, in countries, in systems, medical systems and social systems and political and civic systems, and of course, in the church communities most of all. And this is, we have a blueprint here in Psalm 51 on how this can be done. We come before God and ask Him for this renewal, ask Him for this cleansing, asking Him for a steadfast spirit, asking for the new heart, for the clean heart. But I want to pay a little bit of attention, and let's follow with me, please, of verse 7, who says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. We want joy and gladness. But before we can get to joy and gladness, we need the cleansing. We need the upgrade. We need the newness. We need to be updated. Just like we had the little problem this morning with our equipment, it needed an update. It needed a restart. We needed a new life because we are blocked. We couldn't, in the old ones. Just like that, God, it's a new life and a new life, as Gabby is saying to me right now. And for that, we need the cleansing, the update. You call it whatever you want it, but David here says it cleans me. We need the transformation, the restoration. And I did a little bit of, in the last few days and weeks, I tried to find more about hyssop. Like, what is it? What kind of plant is it? And, it's a plant that was used a lot at the time. It's from the family of mint. It was something used both in cooking because it had a good flavor, but it was also used in cleaning. It has disinfecting property. So hyssop, it's something that was used widely throughout the Middle East, and it had many usages, both, as I said, cleaning and cooking. But the Bible actually talks quite a bit about hyssop. And when David is making reference to hyssop, he's not just making reference to it because it was used wildly domestically as a cleaner, as something that would bring flavor. But from the old law of Moses, when God delivered his people from Egypt, and God used different plagues to force or to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. And the last one was when the angel of God came through the land of Egypt and the firstborn of every family was going to be killed. A very tough moment. Because that's sometimes what happens when people get stubborn, there are consequences. And there was a lot of loss and a lot of death because of the stubbornness and the plans of Pharaoh. And it's a whole subject and it's a whole talk in itself. But at the time, God provided a way out. And Moses taught his people that they were to bring a sacrifice. They were to sacrifice a lamb, eat it together. And they were supposed to use some of the blood of the lamb to paint the doorposts to their houses as a sign that that house is under the protection of God. So the angel who was on a mission to bring retribution, to pay for the consequence of sin, would not enter those houses. And Moses was told by God, and you can check it out in Exodus and Leviticus, that they were supposed to dip some hyssop in that blood. Because again, the hyssop was used and representing cleaning and a new flavor. And when David is asking God, God cleanse me, he wasn't talking about a physical bath. He could get that as a king like that. But he understood that he needed a protection from God. Just like in Egypt, people who had the doorpost of their houses painted with the blood and had hyssop in it, they were protected. They were exonerated from their guilt. They were saved from the consequences of sin, from the retribution of God. Just like that, David understood that he needed this touch of God. And he wanted to connect with that promise that God made to Moses and through the commandments. So we need that, not just from, you know, from a human point of view. We don't just need a new house or sometime like new clothing, even though it can be good for our emotions. Sometime we need a change of scenery, as we say, and that's good. And some people say, like during the pandemic, a lot of people have done a lot of home improvement. Everywhere, in the States, in Romania, and other places, people are buying paint and buying things. You know, they are building new shelves. They are redecorating. It helps, you know, to deal with it, and it's understandable. But we need something deeper than that, more than deep cleaning and a new house or new decoration. We need the new rebuild in our souls inside of us. And this is what God can do. Interestingly enough, there is one mention of hyssop in the New Testament as well. Actually, if you check it out, there are two. One is in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, and basically it's a quotation about Moses using hyssop, you know, in Egypt. But the new mention of the word hyssop that I found in scriptures in the New Testament, and I wasn't aware of it, it can be found in the book of John. I believe it's John 19:29, when Jesus is on the cross, and when he is at the end of his suffering on the cross, and he's saying, "I'm thirsty." You know, he was thirsty after God, but thirsty as a human being because it was a difficult experience. And the soldiers, instead of bringing him fresh water, they bring him vinegar, bitterness. But look it out. They are using a reef of hyssop, and they put the sponge with the liquid, with the vinegar, and they take it to Jesus. I'm like, wow, what an amazing illustration. Because you see the connection. The blood of the lambs in Egypt being sacrificed was just a pre-representation. It was a forecast of the perfect Lamb of God coming to offer sacrifice for the world. This week in Romania, we celebrated, you know, John the Baptist. It's a big thing on January 7th. And, you know, John the Baptist is famous for saying, "Here is the Lamb of God." And when Jesus was being sacrificed, when his blood was pouring on the cross and from the cross to all of humanity, God used again the symbol of the hyssop as a symbol of newness, of cleaning and restoration. Just to close the circle. And then the prayer of David in Psalm 51 comes to full effect. Because when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, he quoted from David, and David talking to Jesus, and the leaders and the Pharisees are saying, "Wait a second, you're too young. What are you talking about, David talking to you? You're not around." Yes, he was. Because Jesus comes from eternity. He's from the very beginning. So even though in Psalm 51, you know, his prayers to God, God the Father, generically God, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, they're one. And it is Jesus who can provide this cleaning, this spiritual hyssop that will restore, that will refresh, that will cleanse the spirit, that will provide David again with that joy, with that gladness, with that steadfast spirit. So I encourage you to let that sink in. Reread those verses and let it sink in. Because this is what we have in our dynamic with God. We need the newness, we need the restoration, we need the upgrade. But for that, we need to go through a process. A process that includes, as I said, honesty with us, honesty with God. It needs an attitude of being truly humble, of admitting, recognizing the disappointments, the hurt, the burdens, the abuse, the sin caused by you, by others, or shared responsibility. Whatever it is, we have to admit it and we have to deal with it. And we have to bring it before God. And God is restoring things. God wants to do this. The perfect Lamb of God. He came to bring us deliverance and good news. Because Jesus said, I have come so you'll have life and life abundant. It's the life of joy and peace that we want, regardless of circumstances. And as human beings, our response was what? We provided Jesus on the cross with the river, with the reef of hyssop. We gave him vinegar. And that is representative of us. Even though we're not living physically at the time of Jesus here on earth, but this is sometimes what we give back to God. We give disappointment and disobedience, but God still loves us. David was a great man of God, chosen by God, anointed by God. And yet, he blew it. He messed it up. He was disobedient. He was selfish. He did not follow in God's ways. He lost his credibility with people. But God received him and restored him. And he is willing to do that for each and every one of us. But we need to kind of go through this process. And we need to own it. We need to admit it. And may God help each and every one of us. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of what other people do or don't, regardless what our country leaders or international leaders do or don't, may we receive this so we can have this joy and gladness, so we can receive the pure heart washed and you know, with this new smell of hyssop, a renewed steadfast spirit, God's presence, his joy, his salvation. And may God help us to receive more of these things and live it out in the new year. Because the true newness doesn't come from being 2021. It doesn't come from exterior things. It doesn't even come from the blood of the lambs and from the bull and from the burnt offerings. It comes from Jesus. It comes from God. It comes from the restoration work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I pray that you will be encouraged by this and you will receive this and ask God, come before him, read Psalm 51 and then adapt it in your own words, in your own circumstances. Then may God may do this deep work inside of us because Jesus has come to restore things with us. He has come because whether we are big or small, whether some people are famous like David was and very gifted or not, whether we were living in the old days or in the new days, all of us, we are stuck in the old. We are disconnected from God. But Jesus came so he would provide a way for us to be washed, connected, and then receive this new spirit of life and of joy. Hallelujah. We are grateful to God. We are grateful to God, and we pray that in the weeks and months ahead, even though we have to deal with many things, we still have to deal with consequences of things. We wish we could go back in time and change some things. We wish the circumstances were not what they are. But in the middle of it all, God is our sustainer, and his spirit is at work within us. But we need to own it up. We need to seek for it. We need to let the process work, and we need to let it work completely. And we need to trust Jesus more than anything else. Hallelujah. May God bless you. We'll stay connected, and hopefully more and more together, we can live together, we can share together in this newness of life that Jesus brought for us. Hallelujah. Praise be to him.